Amen. All right. Well, hey, not to start off on a sad note. Usually, trained in ministry, you kind of want to be a little bit upbeat, whatever. But I got to do this. I mean, how many of you guys ever had something sad happen to you? Right? Could have been a sad, unexpected experience. It could have been a sad day that just kept getting worse. Like the time when you decided, you know what, I'm going to go to KFC, and it just went downhill from there. You know it's true. You know it's true. That was sad. But believe it or not, as sad as that is, folks, there's a new sad thing on the horizon, and it's the sad excuses that the media and the global elites are giving us over this new phenomenon called SADS, Sudden Adult Death Syndrome. Do they really think we're that stupid? This is sad. But watch this, folks. By the way, that has not stopped. It's not stopping, and people are dropping like flies every day. The media is a blackout on it. But watch this. This is sad.
Doctors baffled by increase in sudden adult death syndrome. I mean, are they that stupid, or are they just feel, oh, we can't possibly connect all these dead young and middle-aged people over here with all these mass vaccinations over there? What they must know, surely.
Yes, I don't think that they're stupid. I think that they think we are stupid. And I mean, they're kind of right. I mean, sudden adult death syndrome, really? This is basically the new one. We had a couple of months ago, right, when it was Christmas, they said, oh, there are a lot of people dying from heart attacks, and it might be because of the Christmas trees in your house. I've seen headlines where they said, oh, it's climate change that now causes all of these heart attacks. I've seen post-pandemic stress disorder is causing heart attacks. These people are laughing at us. They think that we're stupid. And, you know, the thing is that I understand that a lot of people have trouble saying these things because, as you said, they will come after you when you try and uncover the truth. And also, it's very hard to speak out about the truth and say, hey, maybe we should call a spade here, and 2 + 2 = 4, and the only thing that changed in the past couple of months is the fact that everyone took this vaccine. You can't say that because there are no real studies for these correlations. You know, we just have suddenly all these extra deaths, and we have no idea why, but we do know that it's not the vaccine. That's the one thing that they can tell you for sure.
Guys are sick. They're mass murderers. It's not stopping, folks. As you saw, the media puts a blackout on this. This is happening every day, nonstop, around the world. And they're going to stand accountable to God. But they know. Christmas trees, really? They know exactly what's causing this. It's the COVID death shots. And finally, it's taken 3 years, but finally, there's some medical experts that are finally coming out in bravery and saying, you know what? This is a global coordinated effort. Watch this.
Who have planned this? It's all planned. Now, why they planned this, I don't know. And I don't even think I want to know.
This system is being put in place using lies. And it's being put in place using lies for some purpose, and I believe that purpose is complete totalitarian control. And I think the purpose of that is going to be mass depopulation.
One of our problems here is the assumption that this is like every other vaccine we've ever seen, and it's not.
It's the greatest experiment that has ever been performed. in the history of medicine, and it's being performed on human beings. It's just an incredible thought.
So all of this started to come together, and we started to get kind of a sick feeling in our stomachs that, wait a minute, this is science gone bad here. None of this is supposed to be happening. The CDC has never otherwise explained these stats, and they are so tightly related to the vaccine.
50% of healthcare providers are absolutely not getting this injection. We don't trust the data. The fox guarded the hen house. The companies did their own data. There were no independent observer groups.
You should disregard all announcements about case rates in your community because they're completely fraudulent.
The very inventor of the PCR test, Nobel Prize winner Carrie Mullis, said this test in itself is not a diagnosis.
And with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody.
But they said we're being pressured in-house to add COVID to the diagnostic list when we think it has nothing to do with the actual cause of death.
As a physician, I received an email last week from the Department of Health coaching me on how to fill out death certificates.
It's another level now of criminality.
There's a lot of other doctors who feel the same way. Well, they're too frightened to speak up. And as soon as that happens, a notification, and you're in front of the medical board.
Dr. Robert Malone is a vaccine expert. He is the inventor of mRNA technology. He's undergone systematic attack. His history is literally being erased online. These fact-checking groups, for example, factcheck.org, they're funded by an organization that holds over $1.8 billion of stock in a vaccine company.
You're not the first doctor I've heard from, maybe got unusual visits from the state or, you know, basically got a lot of pushback.
You have to realize the number of doctors and scientists who are saying no to all this outnumbers those who are saying yes.
And if this is the mountain, if this is the hill where I get nailed on, I will get nailed on it. I don't care. You can report me to the board. You can kill me. You can do whatever. But I'm not going to let Americans die.
And you wonder why we're doing this study. Because we're doing our part, blowing the whistle, as Christians should. It's our biblical, moral obligation to speak up when evil rears its ugly head, including mass murder on this scale that's making what Hitler did to the Jewish people look like chump change, with all due respect. We have to speak up. And that's why, if you were here last week, we announced this is why Amazon came after us, contacted our publisher, because they didn't like one of the resources we had, just simply called Klaus Schwab, the Third Reich and the COVID-19 Holocaust. Exposing all this, as we saw before, they contacted our publisher, and our publisher completely erased us. But God did a nanny-nanny-boo-boo in Jesus' name. 48 hours later, we're with another Christian publisher who owns the equipment, so you can bark all you want. You can't shut us down. But this is what is going on in these days. It's not real. They will do whatever they can to keep a lid on this, but we're blowing the lid off. And that's why we're talking about this guy the last 13 times, Klaus Schwab, and because a lot of this murderous behavior comes from him. And he's building, frankly, what the Bible warned about 2,000 years ago called the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. That's why we're dealing with it. It's a Bible prophecy-related issue. And it shouldn't be a surprise, his behavior, because he grew up in Hitler's world. His dad, as you can see here on the right, Eugene, was buddies with the Nazis. And basically what Klaus is doing, this is where he's getting his inspiration from. He's taking what Hitler did, including the Holocaust in Germany, and now he's expanding it to the world. And he admitted, what's the trigger? What's the excuse to get it all started, not just World War II, but what? The pandemic represents a rare but narrow opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. It was all coordinated and still is to this day. There's a plan behind it. We've been taking a look at the proof of that. Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust, it's not stopping, folks. The media's got a blackout on it. Okay, it's still going on to this day. Their murderous motive, they look at you and I as useless eaters, useless people. That's straight out of the phrase of Nazi Germany. They're controlling the food supply, and with that, they're murdering people and making them dumb and docile. They're using genetic altering technology, more than one. They got several at their fingertips, and what are they doing? They're altering all of God's creation. They admit it's going to lead to an apocalypse, and not just animals and plants, but what? Even humans. They're altering humans, and they're even mixing us with animals, genetic chimeras and things of that nature, and they're copying us, cloning people, okay, as well, for some nefarious reasons, and they want to create a cyborg humanity. where they literally know your thoughts and turn you into a remote control person. We dealt with that two times. And then last time we saw what? That's right. It gets worse as you go. Genetic super soldiers. Well, why? Well, in case the rest of you and I start catching on and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. As they take over the world, as we saw last time. This is crazy. Have fun fighting a Captain America. And that's what they're doing right now, not coming. There are genetically modifying super soldier armies all over the world. First with external enhancements that will turn an average Joe into a real-life superhero like Hulk, War Machine, or even Iron Man. The second way was the internal enhancements, which will turn them into a type of a Neo. You can just jack them in the back of the head, certainly with a brain chip. Instant knowledge, instant finding skills, cyborg Wolverine. And then the third one, again, I'm so embarrassed to show that picture again. Honey, I'm just so... You know, you shouldn't do that in public. I get embarrassed. It's a distraction from my sermon. But yeah, whatever. I can dream. But anyway, genetic enhancements that will turn the average soldier around the world into a literal Captain America, Spider-Man, Aquaman, X-Men. It's not a joke. They're really doing it. It's already being done in case, you know, you and I start to resist. Can you imagine trying to fight all those guys that we see in the movies that were purely for our entertainment? No. That's what they're building. But not only that, we saw a crone theory. Maybe the super soldier technology is also what Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are going to use at the end of the seven-year tribulation to dupe the whole world, to do the dumbest thing ever, try to take on God at the Battle of Armageddon. Except don't tell me it's Jesus Christ in the church, Revelation 19, parting the sky, coming through the spirit realm, the second coming of Christ. No, it's an alien invasion from another world. And we need to band together, like the superhero movies, to fight off that invasion one more time with our science and technology. Not saying thus saith the Lord, but boy, it sure makes you wonder, doesn't it? And that, too, is being built by Klaus and the gang. Which leads us to now this one, which I'm excited to get to, because most people are not talking about this, and you need to. And that's this, Klaus Schwab and the transhumanist plans for humans. What? Yes. And basically what we're going to see in the next, Lord willing, two studies, if we're still alive and still here, is basically this is the second half of the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, what you want. Most people have been catching on, finally, that these guys really are, this is why Biden was brought in, okay, to dismantle the American economy because we're the reserve of the global economy, the dollar. So if you're going to reset it, you got to get rid of it. And then they're going to institute a cashless society. And then it's not just cashless, it's going to be biometrically tied into the individual person. Whether it be the hand or the forehead, go figure. Okay? Most people are starting to catch on to that. That is only half of the Great Reset. What we're now going to see is, on top of that, these guys want to do a human reset to create a new and improved humanity. And if this ain't a total repeat of the days of Noah, I don't know what is. With the Nephilim issue, and God said, that's it, I'm going to judge the planet, and I have to do a restart on humanity. It got down to 8 people were left. Everything else was modified. It's all being repeated today. But these elites believe it. It is their job. It is their duty. I mean, after all, they're called the elites. They've got more money than you and I could ever dream. They've got political power, global power, billionaires. They've got all of, and not like the rest of us dum-dums, right? You know, and so it's their duty to bring this wonderful utopia for the rest of us, whether we want it or not. And it's not coming. It's already being implemented, as you're going to see, against our will. They believe that they're the new gods of the planet, and it is their duty as elites to bring this new utopia to the rest of us. And you go, well, okay, that's a sicko idea. Where are they getting this from? Well, this is the same lie that caused the fall of Satan and, shocker, the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. So let's take a look at that. Where is this all coming from? You think you're gods of the planet now? And it's your duty to improve the human species? That's sick. No, it's not just sick, it's satanic, because that's where it all started. Isaiah 14 is our opening text. This is what caused the fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, let's take a look there as we go ahead and stand and read God's word as you see that text. It's page 1002 in my Bible, if that speeds it up for you, as I stall a little bit of time for you. Isaiah, of course, was written by? Give yourself a golf clap. You guys are biblical scholars. Once again, it's all in time because you can't have dead air, apparently. Isaiah 14, the fall of Satan. What caused the fall of Satan? Why did he get kicked out of heaven? Well, it's very blunt in the scripture. Verse 12 says this, speaking of Satan, have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. Well, why? Well, here's why. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High, i.e. God. But the job's not open, dude. Crone translation. You are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. You may be seated if you can. This is a classic passage. One of them dealing with the fall of Satan. If you want to further research it, you're going to see even more of this problem here that caused his fall in Ezekiel 28. If you want to go check that out on your own. But as again, what is it that caused the fall of Satan? Why did he get kicked out of heaven? Because he had an eye problem. And what did he say there? Five times in two verses. That's how strong of an evil desire from within his own heart came out. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is what caused the fall of Satan. This I problem. Me, myself, and I. It's all about what I want. I. At all more than what God. I deserve this. I. What does that sound like? What's being pushed across our whole world? Self-love, self-esteem, I. What to learn to be a better I, you. It's all self-centered. That's what caused the fall of Satan. And then you wonder why it's getting so devilish out there. Not just in the world, but even in the church. Now, not so surprisingly, after Satan fell, because of his I problem, because he wanted to be God, this is what he used to cause the fall of man. And that's what we see in the Genesis account. Shocker. Genesis 3, 4 through 5. Satan speaking to Eve. You will not surely die. And again, this is the historical account of the first woman eating the first man out of house and home. This really happened, folks. I'm not joking. You can see it with your own eyes. But you, Satan says, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you what? There it is. You will be like God. Knowing good from evil. Don't listen to God. Satan's got it, man. He's got a new plan. You don't need God. Do it his way, and you can become your own God. So here we see that what caused the fall of Satan, his eye problem, he wanted to be God, was the exact same thing, shocker, that he used to call us the fall of man. Now, here's what we're going to see. It's the same sick, evil, twisted, self-centered desire that caused the fall of Satan and the fall of man that has been repackaged, relabeled, and the global elites, including Klaus and the gang, have fallen for it as well. They believe that they're the new gods of the planet. As the elites, they will become gods. They will steer humanity in the new way that we need to go. Now, of course, you can't say, hey, we're following Satan's lie, because that's too obvious. So you have to come up with a term for this movement. And the term is transhumanism. Transhumanism. Let me define that for you. It means this. The belief that humanity needs to transcend human limitations. Transhumanism. And the way that you do that is through evolving into higher advanced beings through science and technology. Get rid of all limitations. We'll transcend all of our emotional, spiritual, physical limitations. And of course, you keep that up, you start sounding like Captain Kirk from Star Trek. So I'm going to refrain from that. In other words, listen, they believe it's their duty, I'm not joking, as elites, that they need to speed up the process of evolution, which is a lie, and they need to recreate mankind into something better. And this is their terms, right? You don't want to show up and say, hey, don't you want to be a non-human, like in the days of Noah? How about a modern-day Nephilim? How would you? No, you can't say that. So this is their terms, a post-human species, human 2.0. Augmented humanity. Doesn't that sound better? And that's all they've done, folks. And just like the Great Reset, first half economic reset, they have a date in mind to have that accomplished, 7 more years, 2030. They also have the second half of the Great Reset, this human reset, a date in mind. They want to have that in place where there's no humans left on the planet by 2045, 15 years after that, first half of the Great Reset. And this is not me saying this. This is them of their own camp. Watch this. This is their utopia that they believe as the new gods of the planet are bringing for the rest of us, whether we want it or not. Watch this.
The world is on the verge of global change. The speed of data transmission has increased by multiples of millions. The rate of globally significant events and that of discoveries and crises is growing exponentially. Our civilization is like an uncaptained ship sailing on rough seas with neither chart nor compass, all the while moving faster and faster. The time we have to make the right decisions is shorter and shorter. We are facing the choice to fall into a new dark age, into affliction and degradation, or to find a new model for human development and create not simply a new civilization, but a new mankind. Historic crises show that to break the deadlock, we need technological revolution. It is clear that today's revolution will also require the deepest social transformation. The world's community and leaders should encourage mankind, instead of wasting resources on solving momentary problems, to focus on the technologies of the future: nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive technology, genetics, and robotics. Doing so will allow us to find new sources of energy, create fundamentally new architecture and transportation, allow unprecedented developments of human cognitive abilities, refine artificial intelligences and brain-computer interfaces, simulate complex systems, create humanoid robots and cyborgs, and with the help of nanorobots, we may develop manageable matter. Find ways to transfer one's personality to an artificial carrier. Yet what we need is not just another technological revolution, but a new civilizational paradigm. We need new philosophy and ideology, new ethics, new culture and new psychology, and even new metaphysics. We must reset our limits, go beyond ourselves, beyond the Earth, and beyond the solar system. This is an adequate response to the challenges of our time. Thus, new reality and future man will arise. 2013 to 2014. New centers working on cybernetic technologies for the development of radical life extension rise. The race for immortality starts. 2015 to 2020. The avatar is created. A robotic human copy controlled by thought via brain-computer interface. It becomes as popular as a car. In Russia and in the world appear, in testing mode, several breakthrough projects. Android robots to replace people in manufacturing tasks. Android robot servants for every home. Thought-controlled avatars to provide telepresence in any place of the world and abolish the need for business trips. Flying cars. Thought-driven mobile communications built into the body or sprayed onto the skin. 2020 to 2025. An autonomous system providing life support for the brain and allowing it interaction with the environment is created. The brain is transplanted into an Avatar B. With Avatar B, man receives new, expanded life. 2025. The new generation of avatars provides complete transmission of sensations from all five sensory robot organs to the operator. 2030 to 2035, ReBrain. The colossal project of brain reverse engineering is implemented. World science comes very close to understanding the principles of consciousness. 2035, the first successful attempt to transfer one's personality to an alternative carrier. The epoch of cybernetic immortality begins. 2040 to 2050. Bodies made of nanorobots that can take any shape arise alongside hologram bodies. 2045 to 2050. Drastic changes in social structure and in scientific and technological development. All the prerequisites for space expansion are established. For the man of the future, war and violence are unacceptable. The main priority of his development is spiritual self-improvement. A new era dawns. The era of neo-humanity.
Neo-humanity? What's that mean? New humanity, in other words, you're not human anymore. Did you see that phrase? Spiritual self-improvement? I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to look forward to heaven or the millennial kingdom, utopia on earth. We're going to build it ourselves as our own gods. with science and technology. Who came up with that lie? Satan. And folks, this is not a joke. These guys are literally everywhere. Just as Klaus has been working since 1971 when he founded the World Economic Forum, planting his modern-day SS agents, I call them, around the world to control the governments and the economy and all that stuff, these same transhumanists, the other half of the Great Reset, not just an economic reset, it's a human reset. They're going to then build their version of utopia that just got described. They want to have this in place. They're all over the world, already there, and they want to have it in place by 2045. This is from their own camp, so it's not a conspiracy theory, right? And these guys are deadly serious. The pun is intended. Because they're going to like, okay, well, maybe they just want to improve humanity. No, they literally have bought into the lie from Satan, you'll be like God. They believe as elites with this power, this science and technology, and all the money and political clout, it's their duty as elites because they're gods now. And this is what they're going to bring to the planet. Oh, and by the way, you get in the way of them being gods, they will kill you. This is who we're dealing with here. In fact, they admit it on tape. Watch this.
We are going to become gods. Period. If you don't like it, get off. You don't have to contribute. You don't have to participate. But if you're going to interfere with me becoming God, going to have big trouble. Then we'll have warfare. The only way you can prevent me in this 50 year is to kill me. If you kill me, I'll kill you.
This tells you not only how dumb these guys are, but how arrogant and foolish they are. I don't know, you guys seem discerning. I mean, you got the Isaiah wrote Isaiah thing. But how many guys could figure out without any help that if you get killed, you're not going to kill anybody else? Right. Hello? Exactly. How many guys can confer that dead people do nothing?
Oh, you kill me, I'll kill you.
You arrogant fool. But what did he say? We're going to become gods. You get in my way, we'll kill you. Because you are what? You're useless to us. Who came up with that lie? John chapter 8, Satan's a liar and the father of all lies, including the transhumanist lie. And he's a murderer and he's been one from the beginning. That's why these guys got the desire in their heart. You get in the way, we'll kill you. We'll murder you. We'll take you out, even with a shot if we have to. Neo-humanity, this is what it is. And you're thinking, okay, well, that's just too bad. That's too bad that those guys are going along with it. There's no proof that everybody else, maybe it was just that guy. Maybe it's just a couple guys in a smoke-filled room. No, the same guys behind the Great Reset, they're transhumanists as well. It's not just an economic reset, it's a human reset. And this is what Klaus is talking about when he says these statements all the time referring to the Great Reset. You're going to be non-human when they get done with you. Not just be tied in economically to this matrix system. You're not going to be human. Here's what he says, and this is what he means when he says it. Watch this.
It's at the end. What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example. It's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
When you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
And that's exactly the plan, the transhumanist plan. It's not just an economic reset. I'm telling you, the other half, their version of utopia now, is a human reset. That's what most people aren't catching on to, and they need to quickly. But these sickles, this is what they're going to do. This is what their deities. Look how he glowingly talks about it. Yeah, we're going to fusion. And it's you. You will change. It's like it's a good thing. Are you kidding me? Now, one more proof just to show you that the guys behind the Great Reset, this is what they are. They're transhumanists. This is the other half of the Great Reset, a human reset. Shocker. Let's listen to Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus's science advisor, and they admit that, yeah, with all this technology, we have godlike powers now. It's our duty to modify you. Watch this on tape.
As the fourth industrial revolution looms on the horizon, a new religion emerges, that of scientism. Masquerading as materialists and atheists, the prophets of this new creed cry out in the town square of the coming age of transhumanism, when man will finally become like gods.
When Yuval Noah Harari published his first book, Sapiens, in 2014, about the history of the human species, it became a global bestseller and turned the little-known Israeli history professor into one of the most popular writers and thinkers on the planet. But when we met with Harari in Tel Aviv this summer, it wasn't our species' past that concerned him. It was our future.
Life is about to break out of the limited organic realm and start spreading into the vastness of the inorganic realm. We are about to create the first inorganic life forms after 4 billion years of evolution. And in the process, our own species, Homo sapiens, is likely to disappear, not because we will destroy ourselves, but because we will change and upgrade ourselves into something very different.
In the 21st century, we'll be to try and gain control of the world inside us, to learn how to engineer and produce our bodies and brains and minds. These are likely to be the main products of the 21st century economy. In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms. Then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games. But this doesn't sound like a very appealing future.
Sicko smile. You know, drugs and video games, that would be very expensive. So maybe you just unleash a vaccine across the world that's going to get rid of them for you. And again, you're like, this is sick, man, satanic to the core. You're right. And you're like, where in the world did Klaus and the gang get this now latest sicko twisted idea that they're gods and it's their duty to improve the human race from? Wait for it. Can you say Hitler? What have we seen through our whole study? Everything Hitler did, Klaus is doing, except now on a global scale. Everything. That's where he's getting his inspiration from, including the new and improved Aryan race. Now, you can't call it that because that's too obvious. But that's what Hitler was trying to do back in his day. Watch this.
Nazi ideology was a worldview that claimed to explain everything about the world and how it functions. At its core, the ideology was racial and biological, totalitarian and imperialistic. Nazi ideology viewed the world as divided into races, with superior and inferior races. And of course, the Aryan race, the so-called Aryan race, was the superior race to which the Nazis attributed all positive developments in humanity, in arts, in science, in technology, and so on. And all the other races of humanity fit into the racial hierarchy in various rungs beneath the so-called Aryan race. For example, the Latin race, the French, the Italians, and so on, were one rung below the Aryan race, who could appreciate culture, but do not create culture and the arts and science and so on. Within this view, the Jews were viewed as a kind of anti-race, an inhuman race of some sort, a creature of some sort that existed in human form. And the Jews were by nature evil and destructive. It was by no accident that the Nazis viewed the Jews in their ideology as a kind of microbe on the one hand, or as the devil incarnate on the other. In other words, some kind of inhuman creature with supernatural powers that could destroy everything that the Aryan race and other people had built in this world. What the Nazis did was bring all of this together into one cohesive ideology that was setting out to explain everything.
Behind these ancient walls, the Nazis tried to rewrite history. I'm going to explore the extraordinary untold story of how the Nazis used artifacts like mummies and skulls to support racial theories that led to the deaths of millions, and why these Nazi beliefs still have influence today. It all begins with Adolf Hitler and his chief henchman Heinrich Himmler. For them, Velversberg was the center of the world. It was meant to be the headquarters of the SS, the infamous warrior elite of the Third Reich. They were headed by Himmler himself, the dark genius who organized the final solution.
He was also the kind of guy that had a chair made out of the victims of the concentration camps. The seat was a human pelvis, the legs were human legs, and the feet, human feet. That's the kind of guy we're dealing with, and this was his HQ.
Sick is right. And you think, wow, that will never get repeated anytime soon. But now we see another German megamaniac. That's his headquarters. And this is what he's bringing to the planet. Not just an economic reset, but a human reset. Now, you can't call it the Aryan race because that's too obvious. No. It's just transhumanism. It's neo-humanity. Human 2.0. Augmented humanity. Opposed to human speech. It's the same thing. They're modern-day Nazis. And now they're all over the world in positions of power, and they're cramming it down our throat just like Hitler did. Now, as freaky as that is, they can't just come out and say, hey, we're just relabeling what Hitler did, and we're going to modify people and get rid of those people that we consider useless eaters. Most people would freak out. So they're pitching it in a way that hopefully would get the rest of us to go along with it. You see, it's not going, hey, stand up and get in the front line and become a Nephilim. No, 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 that's not popular. They call it this. Hey, let us implement our transhumanist plans, and you could have the three supers. Sure thing, Wally. Right? But this is what they call it. If you would just let us genetically modify the planet. I mean, as elites, we know what we're doing. We're gods now. Oh, the humanity that we can bring. The new humanity. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be super. And this, again, is how they pitch it. And the first so-called super thing that they say they're going to give us, once they implement this new humanity, is what's called super well-being. I mean, good thing that nobody in our world today is just consumed with health and working out and all that stuff. And again, I'm not against if you want to eat right and work out, that's great. You know, they always say get into shape. I said it before, I'll say it again. Last time I checked, round is a shape, so that's cool, right? So you don't have to get all crazy about it. But our world is ripe for this. Right? Because sometimes when you try to work out and stuff, you know, it doesn't always go so well. And the harder you try, you just, but, and that's everybody's goal when they get up. You see people on the way to church services, their new church is out there health, jogging. Don't got time for Jesus, but got to, see, our culture's ripe for this. And so these guys come and say, hey, let's do this on steroids. Let us genetically modify you. And you could have well-being health beyond your wildest dreams. In fact, here's how they pitch it. Watch this.
Every aspect of our lives has been reshaped by technology, from the way we get around, the way we seek information, and the way we communicate. It's easy to think that if only our technology advances enough, we'll finally be satisfied. The fact is, we remain shackled by our primitive Darwinian brains. And so, what begins as humanism, our most sympathetic understanding and treatment of human nature, becomes transhumanism, the drive to fundamentally revolutionize what it means to be human by way of technological advancements. Changing human nature might be the most dangerous idea in all of human history, or perhaps the most liberating. We'll examine three central areas of transhumanist thought: superlongevity, superintelligence, and super well-being, dubbed the three supers because of their extraordinary transformative potential. Let's look at the last section, which deals with the issue of well-being. Imagine you're soon to be a parent. Your doctor informs you that, if you wanted, you could choose certain features of your child's biology. you could choose how genetically prone to depression they will be, their levels of anxiety, jealousy, anger, and even their pain threshold. Would you choose a high likelihood of chronic depression, an intolerably low pain threshold? How about panic attacks and anxiety? Probably not. The last major branch of transhumanism, spearheaded by philosopher David Pearce, aims to investigate and phase out suffering. This is why Pearce argues that if we ever hope to increase the well-being of our species, we will have to edit our genes. Minimizing our suffering, and the suffering of those we care about, is a crucial part of what drives us. Hence, so-called abolitionists argue that we start using modern technologies to do exactly that, minimize and eventually abolish suffering, ushering in an era of so-called super well-being.
Wow. Forget all that jogging and stuff and trying to lose weight. I mean, if we just let these guys transcend our human limitations with and genetically modify them, our well-being is just going to be so incredible, as you just saw. And oh, by the way, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Here's the other things they're saying that we can have with this new super well-being. And this is from the Institute for Ethics of Emerging Technologies. This is straight from their website, so this is not a Joe Schmo. This is what they say is coming to the planet very, very soon. Quote, you will enter the wellness center when Klaus and the gang get this ready and tell the receptionist that you're here for an annual restoration. And though your real age is 110, you would like to be restored to about the age of 20 or something. So the nurse injects you with billions of genome-specific bots through the skin, and now you're set for another year. The above scenario may sound like something of a science fiction tale, but experts predict nanorobotics will turn this into a reality real soon. Doctors would not only use nanobots to correct problems like heart disease and cancer and damages suffered from the normal aging process, but it could strengthen and enhance other parts of the body. For instance, it could restore aging bones, aging muscles, aging eyesight, teeth to a biologically perfect state. And when finished, here's the good news, these smart bots would exit the body through the urine. Also, it would allow a person to, quote, run for full speed for 15 minutes without ever taking a breath. And, quote, you could run faster than a horse. Other applications will completely eliminate diseases and all kinds of problems. Quote, we predict that nanobots will appear in clinical trials by the mid-2020s. Right around the corner. Wow, if you would just let these guys fulfill these trends. I mean, come on, they're the elites, man. They know better than us. They might as well be gods. And look how awesome they are. They love us. Look at this utopia they're building for us, right? We can't even stop eating chicken. Look at what these guys are doing. It's flawless. It's great. Just let them genetically modify in these transhumanist plans, and this well-being is going to be... In fact... Just having perfect teeth is just the beginning. They admit this super well-being. Oh, you could become a superhero. Not just running, like a sprinting like a faster than a horse. I'm not joking. Super good looks. Yeah, that's how they pitch it. Watch this. This is crazy.
Transhumanism will help us exponentially enhance our physical and mental capabilities. Here are some ways it will change the world. We could become superhumans. Genetic engineering would give us super strength, endurance, intelligence, and attractiveness. Enhanced strength would allow humans to lift much heavier objects than usual without spending as much time training their muscles. Enhanced endurance would allow humans to run longer distances without getting tired, and there would be less of a need for endurance training. Additionally, we could make ourselves immune to thousands of diseases, and decades from now, we could introduce entirely new genetic elements into the human genome, providing us with novel abilities and characteristics that were once the stuff of science fiction enhanced attractiveness would lead us to having physical characteristics that are considered perfect by today's standards, and it would dramatically elevate beauty standards in society. To everyone else, someone with all or most of these genetic enhancements would seem almost perfect compared to everyone else.
Because you're just so good looking. Now, how many of us know some people that maybe could use a little boost in that department? That's really not that funny, and I learned my lesson the hard way in the first service. So let me give you a tip. Just look straight forward. Don't look at anybody, because it's going to be a long ride home, man. Long ride home. Or you're going to cause a church split. Knock it off. But this is how they pitch it. Now, in our exercise and people that in our culture that's always looking to improve with facelifts, lifts, tummy tucks, liposuction, and then you say, hey, forget all that. Let us just modify you. Oh, well-being, perfect, good looks, the whole thing. How many people would line up for it? They've been preparing this for a long time. But see, that's just the first super thing. Got to really pitch this new Aryan race, right? If you're going to go along willingly. The next one they say is you could have that, what we just talked about, and listen to this, super intelligence. Now, again, how many of you guys know somebody that can use a little boost in that department? See, you fell for it a second time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just look straight ahead. Don't look at nobody. Super intelligence? What? Are you serious? Yeah. You let them do their transhumanist thing, this next super, you're going to have more intelligence than you could ever dream, right? And again, here's how they pitch it. The new gods of the planet. Watch this.
Transhumanism. Most of us would consider the end of the human race as a catastrophe. There are some, however, who will not only rejoice at it, but want to hasten the day it arrives. Transhumanists look forward to a future in which Homo sapiens is superseded by a better, smarter, fitter model, humanity 2.0. Humans are in dire need of improvement. Our lifespans are short, our final years usually characterized by diminishing health and vitality, often accompanied by a drop-off in cognitive capacity. One in three people born in 2015 are expected to get dementia. Is this really the best we can hope for? Transhumanists think not. Enhancements could dramatically raise our IQs and make us stronger and fitter. Improving humanity through science and technology could radically change us. Such a new beginning would, in effect, be the end of humanity as we know it. Many transhumanists see this as not only desirable, but inevitable. The thought of being replaced by a new form of humanity is bound to be unsettling. But transhumanists think we would be wrong to lament the end of humanity as we know it, when what replaces us would be so much better. It would be like wishing children never grew up, or that Homo erectus never evolved into Homo sapiens. If the transhumanists are right, we could be one of the last generations of humans to roam the planet.
Notice the constant thread, the constant theme, the constant verbiage in all this. Transhumanists believe that what? When they get done, you're not human anymore. Nobody left is human anymore. This is a repeat of the days of Noah, folks. Exactly like Jesus warned about that would happen when he's getting ready to come back. Matthew 24. But okay, yeah, I agree. It's unsettling that you get done with you, you're not a human anymore. Okay, but hey, look what you get. Super well-being. Super intelligent. And the level of intelligence they're talking about, folks, is off the charts. And here we go. Super intelligent humans are coming. Genetically engineered will one day create the smartest humans who ever lived. And this is the scale of intelligence they're saying is going to come. The Social Science Genome Association Consortium, international collaboration involving dozens of university labs, has identified the DNA that affects cognitive ability. In other words, they've isolated what they believe creates intelligence. And I quote, "If combined in ideal fashion, this could lead to individuals with intelligence that is higher than anyone who's ever lived on Earth." And I quote, crudely speaking, we're talking about IQs over 1,000. Genius level is 160. And they're saying over 1,000. which means, they say, we can imagine superintelligence maximized and present all at once, allowing for perfect recall of images and language, super fast thinking and calculation, powerful geometric visualization, even the ability to execute multiple analyses and trains of thought all at the same time. The list goes on and on. So you mean to tell me that if I just let you genetically modify me, you know, pop a genetic pill or something, and I could have intelligence? Yeah. It's starting to sound like this movie, which I'm sure was just for entertainment, not for propaganda. Watch this.
See that guy? That's me. My excuse for looking like this? I'm a writer.
Eddie, maybe it's time to let the writing go.
But just in case you think nothing ever happened to me.
Eddie Mora!
Hey!
Tell me about this book.
Well, how much have you written of it?
Not one word.
Well, I suppose I can help you with that. You know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain? This lets you access all of it. They've had clinical trials and it's FDA approved.
All right, just out of curiosity, and that's all. I was blind, but now I see. A tablet a day, and I was limitless. I now had cultural appetites.
Since when do you speak Italian?
I finished my book in 4 days.
I'd like to renegotiate my advance.
Math became useful.
From 12,000 to 2.3 million in 10 days.
I'm baffled by this guy.
So, Eddie Mora, you do know you're a freak. What's your secret?
Medication. How many of us ever know what it is to become the perfect version of ourselves? Worth the risk? What would you do?
Yeah, what would you do? Limitless super intelligence. All you got to do is let these guys do the transhumanist plans, man. I mean, they love us. The elites. I mean, they're godlike now. And fortunately, they're doing this for our best interests. All you got to do is let them genetically modify you. And look at what you get. Super well-being, super intelligence. But that's not all. They got one more. It's called the three supers for a reason. Because it's three. That's right, for those of you hooked on math. There's three of them, and that's the next one. And the last one we'll deal with. Super longevity, they say. Huh? Because come on. Don't be a fuddy-duddy. Don't be like those people that go to Sunrise Bible Church. You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. That's, as Yuval Noah Harari says, that's fake news. You listen to them, and you could live forever without God. This is what they believe, especially the elites. This is what they're running after. A false immortality, an existence that they believe in total rebellion and mockery against God and Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. They don't need none of that. Science and technology will allow them to now live forever. And believe it or not, the Bible does describe a place when you live forever without God. It's called hell. Yeah.
I hope they enjoy it.
But hello, these guys are still listening to Satan, man, and this is their big one. And all these guys, all the elites, all the tech moguls, as you'll see, politicians, as we're distracted on other things, this is really what they want to put into place, okay? Starting with tech moguls. This is all the rage right now in Silicon Valley. All the tech guys, they don't care about new computers, all that stuff. They're racing towards creating their own immortality. Watch this. This is crazy.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do it. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
The French playwright Eugène Ionesco once asked, "Why was I born if it wasn't forever?" But life, if anything, is impermanent. Flowers die, stars die, and you will die. Many people, especially the ultra-wealthy in Silicon Valley, are investing money into companies trying to answer exactly those questions. Richest man in the world Jeff Bezos and billionaire PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel have both invested in the space. In 2013, Google formed aging research company Calico. There's also BioAge, BioViva, the Longevity Fund, AgeX, the Methuselah Foundation, and many others.
Whenever you meet a fundamental human need, there's a market. And in this case, the market for age-related disease and aging is a $1 trillion market.
Billionaire Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to aging research. Bulletproof founder Dave Asprey has spent more than $1 million hacking his own biology.
I, right now, am expecting to live to about 180. I think that's very achievable, assuming a truck doesn't hit me.
Again, the arrogance. You kill me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to live to 180 unless a truck gets me. You know what's going to get you? Your destiny with God, because he's the one that dictates when we're born, when we're going to die. I didn't say he did. Job 14:5. You, God, have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. You're born on time, you're going to die on time. The author of life is God, not you, but they've bitten into the lie from Satan that they don't need God. They can have their own immortality. This is the transhumanist third plank, super longevity. But it's not just the tech guys. Because they see with this technology, we can live forever. It's the elite, the rich elite, not millionaires, billionaires. And the way they look at it is like, you want to live like the rest of you guys? No way. Not million, billionaires. They got more money than you and I could ever dream. And of course, they don't want that to go away. So they're using their billions to try to achieve their own immortality. Watch this.
When your life looks exactly as you dreamed of, you want to live forever, which is exactly what the ultra-rich are trying to do. So what if money could buy you not only luxury and comfort, but also extra years to your life? This fascinating phenomenon is becoming increasingly prevalent among the wealthiest individuals in society. The question that arises is, how do the ultra-rich manage to increase their lifespan and unlock the secrets to longevity? Well, this is how they do it. One of the most significant advantages of money is access to personalized healthcare. This encompasses comprehensive health assessments, genetic testing, and preventative medicine tailored specifically to your individual needs. And not only that, but you also benefit from cutting-edge medical treatments that may be inaccessible or unaffordable for others. Having or not having insurance is not an issue when you've got the world's best doctors on speed dial. And if the doctor is not enough, you can get a robot doctor to increase accuracy and decrease recovery time. And you could always, you know, build your own healthcare center if you can't find one that suits your needs.
This is what the road to human immortality looks like. To battle aging, people receive customized Fountain of Youth treatments, DNA repair, cellular rejuvenation, or even organ replacement. The realistic prospect of healthy, eternal life is fundamentally reshaping society.
If you have enough money. Because I'm sure that Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, they got Obamacare like the rest of us. No. They get all the best. But what are they doing with the best? We're going to live forever. We don't need God. We don't need Jesus. This is transhumanism. This is what they're running after. Now, so they got the technology power, and they're running after immortality. They got the monetary power. A millionaire's nothing today. Political power. We have people now all around the world, including the United States, by the way, both sides of the aisle, and because of their political power, they too, with the tech moguls and the billionaires, are using that political power to bring about their own so-called immortality. And they could rule over us. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, wouldn't it be great to have somebody in politics that never dies, they never leave? Can you imagine Biden never going away? What was that place of eternal torment called again? But this is what they're doing. Those who have political power, they're using it to try to achieve living forever. Watch this. This is just one guy.
We're here with Zoltan Ishtvan. He is a philosopher, futurist, and writer of the book The Transhumanist Wager. He's also announced his intentions to run for president with the Transhumanist Party. What is transhumanism? Is it a political ideology? Is it a social movement? Explain what it is.
Well, it's really all of the above, but I like to just refer to it as kind of an international movement of people that are trying to use science and technology to radically enhance the human being and also enhance the human experience. But it's really about using science and technology to improve the species itself. Transhumanism is really, I'd say the number one goal of transhumanism is trying to conquer death.
So that is the stated goal of transhumanism, is to actually overcome death?
Well, certainly I would say the top priority of most transhumanists, but the goals of transhumanists are pretty varied too. I'd say a lot of them want to also improve their life. Some want to completely eliminate suffering. Others just want to have it so that they could have kind of new body parts so they can do incredible things, new sports, run as fast as cheetahs. I mean, these are all things that are part of the transhumanist future. So there's a lot of reasons for doing it, but I'd say the number one reason is transhumanists would like to overcome human death.
People get suspicious and maybe even a little creeped out when you are trying to take death out of the equation, because then you're starting to become something that is not quite human, and it's unsettling for some people.
This is Zoltan Ishtvan, the US presidential candidate who wants to beat Hillary, Bernie, and Trump, and then beat death itself. He's running for the Transhumanist Party, the only US political party fighting to make America not just great again, but to make it immortal, using biohacking, cybernetics, cryogenics, and even by uploading your consciousness into a machine. We are on the campaign trail in America with...
You just thought I was kidding about Joe Biden never leaving office. This is their thing. This is the, you know, if you don't have tech power, if you're not a billionaire, you got political power, they're all jumping in on this bandwagon. All people on the planet with so-called power, this is the power they're trying to get. And again, it's not just him, folks. It's people who are already in office. Both sides of the aisle. You ready for the bombshell for today? Including this guy. Look who thinks he's going to live forever. He admits it on tape. Watch this.
The one thing I've tried to put a priority on since I left the White House was, you know, getting some exercise in. I think that there's a good probability that my generation is, hopefully with the advances in science, either, you know, the first generation to live forever or the last generation that's going to die. And so we need to keep ourselves in pretty good shape.
Apparently, Jared Kushner thinks he will become immortal. That was a Q&A for his upcoming book, Breaking History. And he's got some backlash on Twitter, including Steve Bannon taking a swing, saying, a transhumanist, we're going to define that word in a second, who believes it's a real possibility that he could live forever and never die, put himself in charge of Project Warp Speed, the effort to rush an experimental gene therapy or vaccine through trials toward an emergency use authorization. Now things begin to become clear.
Boy, does it ever let that sink in, folks. Jared, on tape, a transhumanist, smiling. We're going to live forever. Was in charge of Operation Warp Speed. And he was willing to push to America and the world an mRNA vaccine that, as Elon Musk stated earlier, could reverse or stop aging for the elites, but change us into a butterfly if they wanted to, i.e. a non-human. Starting to see how it all fits together? Starting to see how it's a coordinated effort, and starting to see, folks, it's both sides of the aisle, and we got played and duped. It's crazy. And they're dragging the rest of us along in their transhumanist satanic rebellion stream. Oh, and there's a ton of companies out there willing to help these guys out. Let me just give you real quick as we close. Living Forever Companies, the 2045 initiative, we saw that with the video. That's when they want to have this new and improved humanity in place. Alcor Life Extension Foundation, the BioViva, you heard that on the video. British Society for Nanomedicine, Carbon Copies, Do-It-Yourself Bio, Extropy Institute, Foresight Institute, Future of Humanity Institute, Future of Life Institute, Humanity Plus. You saw that on the video with H+. When you see that in print, that's what they're talking about. That's transhumanism. Immortalist Society, that's blunt. Institute for Ethics and Emergency Technologies, that's the one that I was quoting that said you could run for 15 minutes without ever having to take a breath and run faster than a horse, etc., blah, blah, blah. CryoRus, Kurzweil AI. Ray Kurzweil is a big transhumanist. He's been working for Google for decades. Less Wrong is the name of that company. Lifeboat Foundation, Life Not, London First Fruits, Longevity Party, Machine Intelligence Research Institute, and the what? Mormon Transhumanist Association. Now, why would the Mormons be jumping on this bandwagon? Because what do they teach? What's one of the many lies? That you could become God, right? That's why they admit it on this tape. Watch this.
Mormonism is, above all other things, is to trust in, change toward, and fully immerse both our bodies and our minds to become gods and saviors, to console and to heal and to raise each other up together. This is the heart of Mormonism. This underlies Mormon transhumanism. Mormons situate ourselves today in what we call the dispensation of the fullness of time as a time of great advancement in knowledge and power, and we should expect the sciences to flourish. Immortality is physical, it's embodied. There is in Mormonism this notion of progressively improving bodies as well. Our scriptures have this idea of a transfigured being receives a certain quality of body, and a resurrected being receives an even better body, more robust body. I am a transhumanist, not despite my Mormonism, but rather I'm a transhumanist because of my Mormonism. My Mormonism mandates transhumanism. Our scriptures require implicit transhumanism. And many Mormons are transhumanists, not because we were trying to find a solution to fix our religion. Our religion led us to transhumanism.
Tell you necessarily knock at the door, but that's what they believe in, that they become gods. So of course they merge with this movement, with science and technology. Their own words, folks. Science Party against, we close out. Singularity University, Terrasim Movement, Transpolitica, Verily, Zero State. And again, that's just to name a few. There's a ton of them out there. I don't have time to list them all, but this is really what's going on. And the sad thing is this. Do you really think that the satanic global elites, very self-centered. And they've already told us how they feel about the rest of us. We're just a bunch of useless people. Do you really think that they're going to pay to have us just numbed up with drugs and video games? I'm trying to do Yvonne's smile there. You know they're not. Exactly right. They've already admitted that their plan is to annihilate 90% of the population, which is well underway. Those that remain, you will be genetically modified, but not for you. They get all the supers. You are going to be genetically modified to better serve them. Lord willing, we'll get to that in our next study. But what's the point for you and I? What is this, folks? If this ain't an obvious sign of the repeat of the days of Noah, and what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming Son of Man. It's all being repeated. They're trying to erase God's creation, including humanity. It's all out there. And they're in political high places. They literally believe this. This is what they want to bring to the planet. And so is God going to allow it to happen completely? Of course not. He's God. And just like he judged it last time, he's going to judge it again. The coming of Christ, when he talks about that in Matthew 24, is the second coming, which happens at the end. And we leave prior to the seven-year tribulation at the rapture of the church. So that's why Jesus says, now when these things begin to take place, we're seeing it happen before our eyes. They're laying the foundation for the Antichrist kingdom. And what do? Stand up, freak out, run to the hills. I'm never coming back again. Are you kidding me? This is a freaky church. No, wrong translation. What's it say? Get excited. Lift, our redemption draws near. We're not going to be a part of that, folks. We don't know exactly when, but we know it's got to be getting close. Anybody glad that we're getting off this evil planet any day soon? Yeah. But we have the privilege in the meantime to let people know it's called the old rugged cross. There's a way out of this genetic nightmare that's coming. And his name is Jesus Christ. And tell as many people as we can, as fast as we can, with what time we have left. And if you're here today, you're watching online, and you still haven't done that, what in the world are you waiting for? God is telling you this in advance. That's what Bible prophecy is all about. Telling you in advance because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to not only not go to hell, but hell on the earth, 7-year tribulation. And you don't have to if you would just simply ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to save you. And let him transform you, not these transhumanists. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.